The Quick and the Dead. True stories of life and death from a New Zealand pathologist. So I hear you're a pathologist. People often look at me uneasily when they say this. Perhaps they sense that, through me, the horsemen of the apocalypse are already circling them. They're right. But those deathly horses have nothing to do with me. They're always there, continually circling us all. I'm only there to help pick up the pieces after they have visited. People imagine the job of a pathologist is only to crudely carve up the dead. But it's not true. We spend most of our lives investigating, diagnosing, and helping the quick, as the Bible calls people yet alive. Doctors are no different from anyone else. We have different personalities. Some prefer personal contact with their patients and administering care to the living. They are, rightly, the front room boys and girls of medicine. That's not me. From early on in my career, I decided I prefer the kind of hard science that pathologists are involved with. Observation, testing, the gathering of evidence, making deductions. Pathologists are the backroom boys and girls, searching for the scientific answers to the questions posed by disease and death. When I was not even a year out from finishing my stint as a house surgeon, and the ink on my diploma was barely dry, I landed a job as a general practitioner looking after the families of Rhodesian Air Force personnel. I was 24 years old and shaving once a day, more from hope than need. On my first day, I presented myself to Richard, the principal medical officer at New Sarum Air Force Station. He consulted his notes and looked up at me speculatively from where he was sitting formally behind his desk. "You can take over Mrs. Bezudenhut," he said. "It'll be good for you. Besides, we've all had our turn with her. Bloody woman." I narrowed my eyes. "Why, Richard, what's wrong with Mrs. Bezudenhut?" "It's sir to you, not Richard, or squadron leader. I don't mind which." He looked more amused than annoyed that I had given him the opportunity to pull rank on me, and for good reason. He had only been a year or two ahead of me at medical school and wasn't even a specialist. "She's completely loco," he said. "She's convinced her baby just stops breathing. She's always barging into the base hospital and disrupting our day's work schedule. She does it several times a week, in fact, and four times now in the middle of the night. I've rushed around to carry out an emergency resuscitation only to find a healthy boy sleeping peacefully."